Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show. So is there a limit to the maximum number of connection your backend can handle? This is what we're going to attempt to answer in this video. Stay tuned. Guys, what's going on? My name is Hussein, and this is the long form content that we just sit down and discuss interesting questions that I get asked on Twitter. So this is one of them. Is there a limit to the number of connections on the backend? And theoretically, you should say, yes, of course, there is a limit. But when did this limit get hit? That's what we try to get an answer. So let's assume we have a client here, and we have a load balancer or reverse proxy, and we have a backend that eventually kind of the kitchen sink of all the requests goes to, okay? So between the load balancer listening on port, let's say 80 for simplicity, and then the client, there is technically no limit. As long as you have memory, as long as you have RAM, as long as you have powerful CPU to handle, you can have as many as you can. So why is that? We're listening on port 80, and the destination IP address is fixed, right? That's the load balancer, that's the reverse proxy. So these two things is fixed. So we have the destination IP address is fixed, and the destination port is fixed. What the variable that we have in the TCP packet or the IP packet, which both layer 3 and layer 4, the port and the IP, or the source IP address and the port, the source port is what changes here. So that is as many possible IP addresses you can have times really the number of maximum number of ports. That's 65,000. That's just a huge number that you don't have to worry about. So from the front end, you can handle as many connections as you can, as long as your memory footprint is higher, right? Now, let's take one example here where we have one client, not many clients, right? Just one client, one IP address connecting to this reverse proxy, right? And establishing a lot of connection. How many connections can we establish? Now, we know that the destination IP address is fixed. We know that the destination port is fixed. We know that the source IP address is fixed. Now we are left with 65,000, give or take, obviously, removing the system reserve ports and all or whatnot. So that's just one example here. So now you get the idea, right? Now let's go to the back end, which is a little bit of a different story here. On the back end, the source IP address and the destination is kind of fixed. Let's, for simplicity, let's say you have one backend and one reverse proxy here. So now the reverse proxy is the client making a request to the backend, which is the destination. So the destination has a fixed IP address and has a fixed port. And it also, the source is always the reverse proxy. It's not going to change. So we have technically one client making all these requests on behalf of thousands and thousands and thousands of front-end clients, right? You got to be careful of that. So now you have only to a specific backend from this reverse proxy, you can only establish 65,000 TCP connections, after which you're going to obviously blow up. You cannot go more than that. There is a limit in the port number. This is 16-bit only. You cannot go beyond that, right? However, you almost never will hit this limit because guess what? You're not going to have one backend. You're going to load balance this stuff, right? So you're going to have other backends. You have 65,000 connections to this backend, 65,000 connections to this backend. And the more backend you add, just doubles up the number of connections that you can make, all right? Now, I'm saying TCP connections very nonchalant, but you got to be careful that this is not how stuff works. We are so efficient on the back end. We never, use one TCP connection for the client, except for tunneling cases. But so the other trick is we do actually pooling. So when you make a request as a front-end client to this reverse proxy, the reverse proxy will turn around and use one connection temporarily. It depends on the protocol. Let's say HTTP1 for simplicity. And it sends your request to the backend using HTTP1, right? So for that moment, that TCP connection is in use for you. And you might say, Hossein, can't we just send multiple multiple requests in the same TCP connection? Bad idea. We tried that. We failed with HTTP 1.1, pipelining and all that stuff. We don't do it. Basically, we stopped doing that stuff. We replaced it with HTTP 2 stream, HTTP 2 multiplexing and streaming, right? So we can, the moment I send that request on that TCP connection to the backend, the backend will receive it, process that. While this is processing, if another request came into the reverse proxy, it's not going to use that connection. It's going to use another one because it's being used, right? And so it's going to use another one. So, but however, once you respond from the backend, that connection is free to do other stuff as well. So now you can reuse the connection. So there is connection reusability. So you can have 100 TCP connections that is serving theoretically thousands and thousands of front-end clients without any problem. Yeah, and you can put limits. It's okay, I have 100 TCP connection. I'm going to put some sort of a blocking, synchronous blocking on the reverse proxy. That's okay, let's wait. For you, okay, well, there's all of these connections are busy if you get to that point, right? So there's a lot of stuff. Another trick you can do to get around the number of maximum connections is using a different network interfaces altogether. So you can listen on a specific NIC, network interface controller, I think that's what it stands for, IP address, and then you can listen to another network interface. You can have multiple network interfaces, and that will just basically create, if you have a unique, you're going to have a different IP address. As a result, you're going to have a beautiful set of 65,000, another 65,000 connection pair backend, right? So there's so much stuff. So you don't have to worry about running out of TCP connection and time zone. But you shouldn't really worry about that unless you have a stateful load. Things like tunneling protocols, things like WebSockets, things like gRPC, right? If your proxy is doing a layer 4 tunneling for gRPC or layer 4 tunneling for WebSockets, right? Or layer 4 tunneling for MySQL Postgres connection, right? It's just literally a dumb tunnel. So that in that case, the client is literally tethered to one connection and you cannot use that connection for anything else. So that's wasteful, right? So that's when you have tunneling going on, we have WebSockets, you have to worry about that number because it will go up really fast, right? Because you cannot use that connection for anything else. So that's the state of the art as it stands today on the back end. A lot of smart proxies started doing tricks on the back end to become a little bit more efficient on the back end, right? Because now the more TCP connections you have, the more work you have. It's not like free. You have a 65,000 connection, that's work on the kernel that it has to do, right? So Envoy, for example, uses HTTP2 on the backend, supposedly that the backend supports HTTP2, to multiplex request, even HTTP1 request that's coming from the client to the reverse proxy, into an HTTP stream. So it's one TCP connection, but multiple streams. So you can essentially send a request on one stream, right? If someone else came in with another request, doesn't matter the protocol, we're going to we're going to pick one stream for you. And the number of streams is, it's not really unlimited. I think it's 200 per TCP connection. You can increase that. But now we have one connection instead, and you can reuse, so multiplex, so less memory. I'm going to add double code because HTTP2 technically adds a little bit of an overhead the more streams you have. because it's in the user space. And if it's in the user space, that's work on your application to kind of nitpick and find, this packet is stream one, this packet is stream two. There's all this parsing that has to do at the application level. Unless HTTP2 comes to the kernel, we're stuck with this stuff, right? So there's CPU overhead, and smart people smarter than me are figuring out how to make it faster. The same exact problem with QUIC protocol. All right. And finally, speaking about the Connect protocol and WebSockets, there's this RFC that has been going on since 2018. It's called 8441, and I made a video about it. Check it out right here. And it is the idea of extending the Connect protocol, which I talked about it, right? The Connect HTTP method, which essentially the Connect method says, hey, I am a client, I'm talking to you, I know you are a proxy, but I want to go to that guy and I want you to open a tunnel for me. And a tunnel is basically another TCP connection. Just open a tunnel and I'm going to send garbage there. You don't see it. You just literally forward the packets to the backend. Don't try to look. Don't terminate my connection. Don't terminate my TLS. Don't do anything. Just forward that stuff to the backend. That's Connect, right? Connect is limited because it is literally dumb. It just say, hey, open a TCP connection to the backend and then tell me so I can just send you a packet. Future packets going to this port/IP will always go to that source port destination IP, okay? However, imagine doing Connect with WebSockets. The example, coming back to what we discussed earlier with WebSockets and load balancers and the waste that is going back. Every time we do a Connect, a duck dies, essentially. You kill a duck. You don't need to kill ducks, man. You have to save the ducks. Every time you do a Connect, you kill a duck. So a TCP connection is reserved just for you. It's a waste. It's such a waste because most of the time you're not going to fully utilize that beautiful TCP connection. And it's going to sit there just for you, just because it's a tunnel. And we cannot touch the tunnels, because if you touch the tunnel, it's a stateful thing. If you touch the tunnel, you break everything. You're going to collapse. No canary in the coal mine can save you there. It's just done. You're done, right? So you don't touch the TCP connection on the backend when it is in the tunnel mode. So there is this 8441 RFC that tries to solve this with an extended Connect. It says, okay, I want to go to that, but here's my protocol. I'm going to give you some knowledge, Ty Lopez. I'm going to give you some knowledge about my protocol so you know what to do, a proxy. Because if it's a WebSocket, we know it's HTTP at the end of the day, right? So we can dedicate one stream in the backend for HTTP connections, HTTP2, for you. So we tunnel on a stream on a given TCP connection. So beautiful. Beautiful. So good. But if I'm going to connect you, if I'm going to establish a tunnel for MySQL or MongoDB or Postgres, there's no multiplexing that. I guess theoretically you can. But more knowledge you have there, you can decide as a backend, not a backend, as a proxy that you build, you can decide, you have more knowledge in there. And obviously this stuff is not easy. From what I read online, it looks like there's a lot of fighting going on, the browsers and the proxies. Proxies are refusing to implement this extended Connect. Nginx just says, nah, looks like, since no, it's like a chicken and egg problem. If this browsers are not implementing it, why are we going to, I'm not going to spend time implementing this extended Connect if no browsers, no clients going to connect to me. And the browsers are not doing that stuff. And essentially, all these proxies are essentially just waiting. It's like, okay, well, let's wait for, see what will happen. Meanwhile, there is another protocol that is in draft. It's not even final. It's called MASQ, MASQEUE, something like that. I forgot what it stands for. Let me get it for a second. What's this? This is the QUIC thingy. This is the QUIC equivalent of Connect. All right. It stands for the MASQ protocol. Stands for Multiplex Application Substrate over QUIC Encryption. Right. It addresses limitation of the connect, because connect only work on TCP. It can only establish TCP sockets, right? Tunnels TCP, so Mask actually extend that to UDP as well, because Quake, right? And all that stuff, guys. Yeah. And I get a lot of questions like, okay, what is better? What is more efficient? Is it HTTP2 on the back end? Is it HTTP1 on the back end? I cannot answer that, because it really depends on your client. Do you have browsers as client, or do you have well-behaving, simple clients that just establish one TCP connection and send, I don't know, like you have IoT devices that is just sending every second one request, right? It just logging. You don't need HTTP2 for that, because HTTP2 is useful when your client is want to request multiple things. It's single client want to request multiple things at the same time. Like a browser. The browser, hey, I want this CSS page, this JavaScript, this Bootstrap, this image, and this, bleh, give it to me, right? That's why HTTP2 was designed for that use case, right? I find it, you can see the same pattern in the reverse proxy, where the reverse proxy actually tries to make multiple requests, right, to the same server. And that's when HTTP2 or streaming in general is useful. Like Quake is useful in this case. But if you don't have that, I don't know, you know what I mean? I think it's a waste to implement HTTP2. Keep it simple. HTTP1 is so... Because HTTP2 comes with the cost. I mean, yeah. If you have an endpoint that is browsable, like in a browser, then definitely HTTP is the way. But if you have, like, I don't know, an API that is being consumed from a C# application that doesn't know how to multiplex altogether, or it's just only H1, use H1. It's so much simpler. Right? H1 is like very close to the kernel, almost very close to the kernel, because a TCP segment, I know network people will yell at me, segment, not packet, IP packet, TCP segment, is almost identical to the HTTP1. So because that's the layer 7 content is just the data. HTTP2, no, the data of the TCP segment, after you collect all the segments into one beautiful data, no, that's not the final thing. You still have to do some work on the application by just extracting the streams out of this garbage, you know? So there's a lot of work you have to do. And that work is not cheap. Your computer has to do this work, right? Has to do, okay, this is stream 1, this is stream 0, this is the magic stream, this is blah, 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 blah. This is all the work that you have to do. All right, guys, so that was like a little bit of a rambling, talking about all that stuff. Hope you enjoyed it. And this is obviously going to end up on my podcast. So I like to do this stuff to put in the podcast. And if you don't know, guys, I have a podcast where I put stuff that is relevant to put in the podcast, obviously not tutorials. The podcast, so you can listen while you're working out or eating or watching your favorite show. Can you watch a show and listen to workers? No. Or playing video games. You can listen to that stuff. It's HusseinNasser.com/podcast. Or just search for the Backend Engineering Show with Hussein Nasser and your favorite podcast player. I'm going to see you in the next one. Thank you so much for your support. I love you. I'm going to see you in the next one. What do you think about the whole thing? Where do you think we're headed with the backend? And I'm so excited about the whole thing. It's so fascinating looking at all this stuff, and that just it's because you see a lot of smart people trying to make a decision, and then it just got shut down, and then people try to solve, and then people come up with a better solution. Sometimes it's over engineering, sometimes no, it's really good. But yeah, let me know in the comment section below. I'm gonna see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.